Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tea Time. I'm your host, Cinnamon. We have a great show for you today. I'm honored and very happy to introduce my guest, Abel Alvarado. Hi, Abel. Thank you so much for coming.
Hey, Cinnamon. I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited.
And as you can tell, we have Madonna in the background. It's all things Madonna today. Why? Because it is Madonna's happy birthday eve today. And when I asked Abel what day he wanted to come on the show, he said, let's do it the 15th because the 16th is Madonna's birthday. And I was like, yes, bitch. Yes, that makes so much sense. Hi, Abel. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, especially on Madonna's birthday eve. Yeah, I probably celebrate her birthday more than she does, but yeah, so I'm happy to be here. Yeah, it's really
awesome.
Exciting.
So how has your day gone? Do you have Madonna on all day or?
I actually did. I woke up and put on Madonna's 80s mix because I started with that. I got ready for work to Madonna, listened to Madonna on the way in, and at work I put on Madonna in the theater lobby. Yeah, so it's been a Madonna day, and it'll continue tomorrow.
Yes, for sure. Okay, so you said theater. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how I know this amazing being. Abel is part of CASA 0101 Community Theater. He is involved in a lot of different ways, and I've met him through there. We've play written together, shoot the shit at the theater. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna let him go ahead and talk a little bit about what he does at CASA 0101. What is it, first of all? Give us a little shout out, the CASA 0101 shout out.
Well, shout out to CASA 0101, mm-hmm. where I have been, had the privilege to work as the in-house costume designer for about 10 years. I've also been a producer for the musicals that happen there. I've produced In the Heights twice.
Yeah.
Gave In the Heights its first intimate theater premiere on the West Coast back in 2012. Then we produced it a second year because it was such a hit. It was the first time a Tony Award-winning musical was played in Boyle Heights. And then after that, produced Aladdin, the musical, Beauty and the Beast, the Broadway musical, Sister, the Broadway musical, and the last musical we produced was a musical I wrote, a house musical.
Yes. We're going to come back to that because that is a whole conversation also.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been part of the theater community for so long. I started like in 2008, and I think I met you back then.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, we used to know each other at Arena.
Yes, we did. We were part of the crazy party people at 6655 Santa Monica Boulevard.
Hell yeah. Yes, we were. And you know what? We still are those party people.
Yes,
and I feel like every time I connect with you, and I feel like we in a different lifetime, which we did, we knew each other.
Yeah.
And we ran around with the same people. We knew all the same people. And, you know, we were the ins and outs of Hollywood back in the day. So let's start with Arena. Tell us about Arena. You know, I was honored to be a little bit part of Arena as well. But we'll let Abel tell us about his baby.
Yeah. Arena House Musical, right?
Yes, that's so, the complete title.
Yeah. So yes, and when you were the assistant director for the workshop production, you were a tremendous help. It was it was great to have you on board, because you know when I wrote this project, I really wanted people who had an intimate knowledge of that space to be a part of this production. And so it was really great that you were able to be a part of it. I also interviewed you. You're one of the almost 270 people that I interviewed for that project.
That's amazing.
And yeah. And it was a project that was born, you know, Arena was the first gay club I ever went to. Mm-hmm. And I was young, it was the 90s, and you know, the first time I went there, I was raised in a very religious home. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a Pentecostal home.
Oh, wow.
I was raised and became a music minister, which was very instrumental in my upbringing, in my love for art.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first love, music. I learned how to play the piano. I learned harmony. I learned music theory. And eventually, I thought that that was the plan for my life, that I was going to be a music minister of a mega church. I was already a music minister and choir director for many years, since I was 16 years old. And I knew I was gay, and if you know anything about the Pentecostal church, being gay and being Pentecostal is like oil and water, right? They just don't mix.
Yes.
Although when they do, it makes a really good combination.
You wrote a play about it.
Yes. So, yeah, after Arena closed, I was there on closing night. New Year's Eve 2015 to 2016,
mm-hmm.
and to see more than 10,000 people there, and I knew a big majority of them, and I had slept with we won't go there. I realized that I had been going to this place for at the time a little over half of my life. And it was a very bittersweet night,
mm-hmm.
saying goodbye to this place that I thought had empowered me. Because before I walked into Arena, all I knew about gay people was men in leather,
mm-hmm.
which scared me.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen Police Academy as a kid, and every time they went into the Blue Oyster, all these men in leather, and I was like, that's not what I am. Or, you know, in the 1980s, you know, you just kept hearing about AIDS, and those were the images that were being presented. So it was a frightening time. And of course, I was told that Pentecostals aren't gay, Latinos aren't gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Arena for the first time in Hollywood.
And you're like, gay.
It was the brownest, gayest place I had ever seen in my life. And I was in love.
You were in heaven, girl.
I was literally in heaven.
Yeah.
And even at that moment, walking in with my music background, my immediate thought, it was the first time I had heard house music pumping through that system, and I thought, this sounds like gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was listening to the beat, to the driving beat, and I would hear, like, you know, the piano rolls, and I would hear an organ in there, and I was like, this is spiritual music.
Yeah.
And you know, as time progressed, eventually I came out, I left the church, not because they asked me to, but because they showed me the door,
mm-hmm.
and because I came out and they said, well, there's the door.
Wow.
And, you know, I started becoming more involved in the in my community, in the gay community. And it was at Arena that I remembered this place, and I went, and I would first go by myself, and I didn't know people. And I started making friends. Mm-hmm. Then I started seeing that some of these friends were my neighbors in Baldwin Park.
Oh my God.
And there was people that I had went to high school with. Mm-hmm. And then there was homeboys that, like, tatted homeboys, mm-hmm. that I was like, oh my God, I'm in love. But it, I was like, but I was told Latinos aren't gay. Mm-hmm. And so it really opened up a world for me. And I tell people that walking in there felt like a brave experience, because it was kind of frightening, you know? It was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Every sensibility, every sense was being stimulated visually, right. audibly, even your smell, you know, the mm-hmm. smell of spilled tequila everywhere.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Arena was an ice warehouse, mm-hmm. huge warehouse on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
So getting there was a little sketchy, because yeah. the corner, you would see call girls, you would see drag queens, trams,
drug dealers,
all on the corner. Yeah. But then you go to the parking lot and you see people in line getting ready to live their best life that yes. night. And you hear the music just pumping, 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 and that was house music.
Yeah.
I know a couple of the DJs still that, you know, they still play house music different places. Josh Peace used to be there. He was one of the DJs there. DJ Irene, which I know y'all have like a big following with her. Mm-hmm. You guys just had an Arena, a reunion, right?
Yeah,
tell
yeah,
us about that. That was huge.
So another very special thing about Arena was, if you were a Latino, especially a Latino, you were empowered. I mean, it was the first place that I ever heard somebody yell, "Where's all the Latinos in the house?" And it was DJ Irene up in that booth, you know, kind of empowering you. And here's a woman doing what normally was a boys club,
mm-hmm.
a man's job of being a DJ. And here is this woman putting these beats up, this Latina who understood you in a way that, by her using that phrase, how many Latinos are in this house?
Mm-hmm.
It was exhilarating. And that is one of the reasons why I say that Arena was such a special place for Gen X,
mm-hmm.
because yeah. that's who was there.
Right, exactly.
And of course, Circus Disco had been in the warehouse right behind it mm-hmm. since 1974. And these are all things I learned in the research in writing the musical. And it was very special to be in a space where you felt liberated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't call it a safe space, because, girl, you would get your ass beat.
Mm-hmm.
You would. Look at someone the wrong way, yeah. take mm-hmm. someone's man, or for whatever
drop
reason,
a drink
someone
on somebody,
was hating on your...
run into someone.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. hating on your outfit, and the next thing you know, wigs were flying
yeah.
off,
yeah.
uñas were flying everywhere.
That's...
So, you know, it was that.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Ray Fernandez, who's from Baldwin Park also, he told me, he said, it was magical because we would go there, and for 5 hours, once a week, we would live our entire life.
Mm-hmm.
We would get there, we'd fall in love, we'd have our heart broken, meet someone else, be around people who looked like you,
mm-hmm.
acted like you, and then you went home.
Mm-hmm.
But the great part was, if you were in the closet, each time you went, you were empowered even more, even more. Even more, until one day you would walk out of those doors like I did, and you tell the world, you tell your mom, I told my mom,
oh.
I'm gay.
Oh, how did that
go? And I knew I wasn't alone. I just knew I wasn't alone because there was thousands of screaming queens at arena that were like, girl, you're not alone. Even if I didn't know them, I would see them at the mall and I'd be like, oh, that's an arena queen. And we'd look at each other
and be like, and, you know, yeah,
back in the day, what's her tea? What's his tea? Right, you know, exactly. The coded language. Yeah.
What I loved was it was so creative as well, because there was outfits, there was music being produced and played for the first time. There was dancers, there was singers, like Dead or Alive was there. I don't know if you're familiar with Shava. Shava was there, mm-hmm. who, you know, made amazing costumes and, you know, designed and went off to do stuff for Bob Mackie and, you know, Gucci and Chanel. And then there was also Miss Martin, who was the mother of these children that you were talking about. Yep. You know, she was a mother that would take people in. And I remember her when I first came out and went to arena. And she was always, always welcoming. Yep. And, you know, it was, I know you put a lot of her in the musical as well. So... tell us about that. Tell us about, you know, a couple other things that were in the musical. I know it's a lot about your life, your, you know, at the beginning coming out and things like that.
I use my life as a source of inspiration, mm-hmm. definitely. But like I tell you, I interviewed about 270 people, including the founder and owner, Jean LaPietra, who invited me over to his house, and I spent an entire afternoon with him. We cried, we laughed. I was amazed at the story of how Arena became a nightclub, and even before that, how Circus became a nightclub, and how his life and his partner's life, Elimus, was just almost like this journey that was meant to happen. And like I told him, I said, I told him and I told DJ Irene, I said, you know, you, unbeknownst to you, were saving lives, because you were opening a space and giving a voice to those of us who felt very oppressed for being gay and just lived in fear. And it was because Jean and Ed opened that place. It was because Irene was playing music, and like she says, you know, when she does it with love.
Yeah.
And music and love combined together can only make, create more love. And it was those things that I know as a young gay coming out, had I not known that, had I not known that I had this amazing community, that I wasn't alone, that I wasn't the only one, I don't know if I would be here today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful. That's very powerful.
And a lot of people told me that when I was interviewing them, and why it was so special, why Arena was so special. Mm-hmm. You know, I did interview older people that were at Circus in the 70s, and they kind of had that same feeling. But yeah, I think one of the things I wanted to highlight in the story was the different facets of our community. And how we're not a monolith, you know, we are a community comprised of many different people. And for example, Miss Martin, an unlikely hero. And, you know, before she passed, of course, I knew her, ran around with her a couple times, partied. I just always was fascinated by her because she was everything that the world said was not beautiful, and she was one of the most beautiful people I knew.
Yeah.
Because she was fearless, even when she was afraid. She was fearless.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was 6'2", 300 pounds, but on that stage, she floated like a feather.
Yeah.
Nothing kept her down. And, you know, I interviewed, you know, just remembering conversations with her, but then I interviewed people from her original house, the House of Mirage,
mm-hmm.
and how a lot of them kind of came together in Boyle Heights,
mm-hmm.
which is, her house was about four blocks from where Casa 0101 is. And just learning that there were so many people running around those streets just being gay. Not afraid. Not afraid of being misgendered. Not afraid of being called out. They were calling you back out. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then let's settle this.
Yeah.
You know? It's just being empowered.
Yeah.
Not afraid to defend themselves.
Because that we did. We had to defend ourselves, for sure.
It was something you had to do.
It's funny how it came full circle, which she lived a couple blocks away, like you said,
mm-hmm.
and her story was on that stage.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to write this story?
So
I know it was a lot of pages, and I know you cut a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we do have your partner here. Do you want to introduce her, give her a little shout out?
Yes. The dramaturg on the project, Patricia Zamorano, who is an amazing playwright herself.
I know.
And, you know, I met Patricia through Casa. And when I started writing this, you know, at a certain point, I knew I needed a dramaturg. I needed somebody that was going to keep me on task, that was going to keep me historically accurate, that was going to do the job of a dramaturg. So I approached her, and she looked at me and she said, "But why me?" I said, "Why not you? You've written two full-length plays that have been produced. That, you know what you're doing, girl."
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that happened, and I put my full trust in her. So in 2015, when it was closing, I was standing on the balcony at Arena and looking over across the circus, and in between, there was thousands and thousands of people there. And as I was walking through those thousands of people at circus and arena, I kept hearing story after story. "Oh my God, this is where I first kissed so-and-so. Oh my God, remember so-and-so used to dance here? Too bad they're gone." And people were hugging, people were crying, people were laughing. Like I said, I saw people that I had known since my 20s.
Yeah.
And here I was in my 40s already. And I looked and I said, this place
mm-hmm.
brought us all together.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly brought my generation together. And I thought, this story needs to be told. And as I was leaving that night, I went up to the corner in the driveway of Arena, and I just looked up and I hugged the building.
Aww.
And I said, "Thank you, girl. Thank you for giving us a space." Because I did feel like I said, circus was amazing, but for my generation, Arena really mm-hmm. represented mm-hmm. something. And I started living with that. 2016, I wrote a little treatment of what I thought it would be. And then I said, you know, how am I going to tell a story about a space and time that the music defined it without music?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I had a background in music. I've always loved musical theater. Surprise, right? I love Madonna. I love musical theater. Like,
gay.
So after I wrote that about 2017,
mm-hmm.
18, I had an idea of what the story was going to be like after interviewing Keith Cole. And I was like, well, there's been musicals, classical music, there's been musicals with Jamaican music, there can be rap with 60s music. And I said, I've never heard a musical with house music, which is what defines that moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, how would that sound? And, you know, finding a house song that has a lot of lyrics is kind of hard. Because mostly it's just, yeah.
Or the same. Exactly.
But I knew that there were songs that I loved that had a really deeper message than just what you would hear on the dance floor. And I started saying, well, what if I took moments from this song? What if I took the chorus of this song? What if I took the line of this song? She's just like you and me, but she's homeless. What if, not use the whole song, but that one just line, you say it to anyone, she's just like you and me, and they'll respond, but she's homeless, yeah. Right?
That it's so brilliant.
Yeah, so turned that into dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I presented a couple of pages to Josefina Lopez, who is my writing mentor. Mm-hmm. And she called me.
We have to give a shout out to Josefina Lopez.
Yeah. Yes, the house of Josefina.
Founder of Casa 0101.
Yes, artistic director and founder of Casa 0101, who herself has a show headed to Broadway.
That's what I heard. Real Women Have Curves.
Real Women Have Curves, the musical.
Yeah.
And she read the pages and she said, we're meeting up at Casafina, her restaurant, and we're going to outline this because this show needs to be written. And we did. And 6 hours later, we had a rough outline. And she said, get to writing. Write the book first.
Ooh.
And
are you doing that?
Well, the book is the play.
Okay.
And I wrote that. And when I was done, I had written, how many pages, Patricia?
279.
Oh my gosh.
279 pages, which is insane for a play or a musical. But I had interviewed so many people. There was so much material in there. But Patricia was up and said, just write. You can edit that all out later.
Exactly.
And there was a moment, and this was in 2018, where I got an inspiration from one of the songs, a house song. And I thought, this needs to be a ballad. And I got three people from the musical theater company, and I said, learn this song. We slowed it down, arranged it to a key that they could sing it in, and we performed the scene at the reading for Brahmin Out 5
in
2018.
I remember that day.
And it was just one scene that was about 3 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
There was 100 people in the audience hearing the rest of the plays that were being read from Brahmin Out. And after that scene, we got a minute long standing ovation.
That's how you know you are where you need to be. You did what you needed to do, and people needed to hear it.
Yeah.
And that it was an entity on its own. Like, that was it. It was going to take off somewhere else. And it's still going to take off. I still believe that it's not done yet. I know you had it on stage, you know, at Casa. Two different times, right? And I know you had it and one of the runs. Tell us about that.
So we did a workshop production that was 3 hours long, which is normal for a musical. You know, the workshop production of Hamilton was 5 hours long.
Oh, wow.
So, but you need that. Musical theater needs that because it needs to expand itself. The writer, the composer, the lyricist, we need to hear it. We need to get the audience reaction. And so I was very honored and privileged that Casa 0101 and TNA Productions teamed up to produce this. And that I could get a full workshop with a cast of 24 people. It was a dream come true. And it sold out.
Mm-hmm.
All 6 week run was sold out within a week of ticket sales. And it was magical. And even though it was 3 hours long, nobody walked out. So Then COVID shut us down. It was in the middle of COVID when theaters were opening, and then things got crazy again. And some of the cast members got COVID, so we closed down. And we went back to the drawing board and fixed and trimmed and cut. And we got it down to 2 hours and 20 minutes. And we did a launch of the world premiere the following summer, in summer of 2022. And that again sold out.
Sold out, yep.
And 5 weeks in, COVID shut us down again.
Oh my God. See what I'm saying? It's like, it's still going strong. It's gonna go. Like, you know, you have these hurdles before you have a moment, you know what I mean?
And then the Los Angeles LGBT Center invited us to do a concert version of the show at the Rembrandt Theater, the historic Rembrandt Theater, two blocks away from where Arena stood.
See?
And we did...
Full circle, everything.
We did one weekend of it, and it sold out. And...
That's amazing.
It's... Yeah. So, yeah. That's
your baby. That's your baby. And what I really loved when I first saw and came aboard, like, was the live music of the classic house songs, like, sung live. It wasn't just a song played in the back, you know, by a DJ. It was a talented actor singing the actual song, hitting those notes, making you feel. And I was just like, this is amazing. Like, you've never heard something like that. You have people in the audience dancing, singing along, clapping along, and just living the moment back then. And when I say you transformed that stage into Arena, I mean, you really did transform that stage.
I have to give credit to Rigo Tejeda, the director. I wrote the story, but then he took it and turned it into a show. Along with the director, Tanya Ponsik, along with the workshop production assistant director, Cinnamon Rivera, the lighting designer, the set designer. And it was just great that they were able to bring this vision to life. Yeah, because I couldn't have done that. But I can write, I can design costumes, but to bring out an entire show, that's a craft in and of its own.
It
really does take a village.
Really does. Speaking of that, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your inspirations, what you're up to next, a little bit of sex. We're going to, like, you know, spill the tea, girl, because that's what we're here for. So as we go out, we're going to play your song, which I asked you which one is your favorite Madonna song. Then you told me Borderline. Yeah. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you why.
Okay.
What's up? All right. So let's take a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back. We're serving it up.
Thank you.
my God, I love that song. I know. That with the extended version.
Yes.
When she's like, look what your love has done to me. Yeah. All right. I love young Madonna.
Yes.
Early Madonna was the best. I think that was one of the best albums. So you are a big Madonna fan.
Yes.
Let's start there. Tell me what, you know, what you love about her, because most gay men, not every gay man, but, you know, she's the queen. She's our queen.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 1984, I was in sixth grade, right? And, I kept hearing this song, Borderline.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, what a cool song. Like, I was, you know, just a sixth grader, like, you know. And it's this girl I'd never heard of, Madonna. Wow, she sounds, the person was just one name, like, not Diana Ross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I didn't know who she was, you know. And, you know, it was MTV. And it was 1984. And I turned on the TV one day. And the music video for Borderline comes on. And I was like, wait, I know that bridge. And then I was like, wait, those breakdancers look like my brother,
mm-hmm.
like my cousins. That little boy looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
Those girls with their cha-cha hair, that girl singing,
mm-hmm.
the Blanquita, she looks like my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, she's Chicana. Madonna's Chicana. I literally thought that.
Yeah.
And I knew the bridge because, so I was born in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we moved to California. My aunt and uncle moved me here with them when I was in high school. But we had been here many times, and I remembered the Sixth Street Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it was filmed. That's why I was like, wait, I know that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in that video was brown. Or they were light-skinned. They looked, well, Latinos, we come in all colors. I'm this beautiful canela brown, this beautiful cinnamon brown.
I'm dark and,
but my sisters are just very white skinned. So, and then I also have family members who look Afro-Latino or who look black. And so I've always known that. Like, Latinos, we come in every shape. That's why I say we're the true people of the world. Because the world lives in our culture.
Yes.
So I thought, wow, this girl, she gets me. And at that moment, I didn't know what that meant, but I just knew she got me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just became obsessed. And I was this little fan. And then I went to junior high and that was the basis of my friendship with a lot of people because they loved Madonna too, mostly girls.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And all the girls would bring me Madonna posters from Pop Magazine or Tiger Heat, and I would start in my collection of those, which some of those I still have.
Really?
And I just loved her. There was just something, like I said, something about her that I thought she got me. And later on, when she was, you know, really standing up for the gay community, gay men in particular, who were dying of AIDS in numbers that was freaking the whole world out.
Mm.
And there she was, embracing, hugging, featuring. You know, during the Blonde Ambition tour, it was all gay, black and brown and Asian men on her tour.
Yeah.
She was telling the world, I'm not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of a virus. I'm not afraid of a sexuality. I am a human. We're all humans. What's it going to take for us to love one another?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I always thought she had my back. I guess in a, you know, in a very kind of, you know, artistic way. Yeah. I just knew she got me. And I knew that if we ever met, we were going to be homegirls.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, sure. Yeah. So that's been, and I love that video because in 1984, nobody was featuring Latinos the way she was.
Nobody.
So, you know, inclusivity, or it's a nice buzzword. Diversity, nice buzzword. But Madonna was doing it when no one was talking about it. With Latino people, with Black people, with gay people. Mm-hmm. She was just doing it. Mm-hmm. Those were her friends. That was her world. And, well, it led to her having her first child, who's half Latina.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you think of her now? What do you think of Madonna now?
Like, she can do no wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
No one talks bad about my Madonna.
I know, exactly.
No, I think she's just, you know, a 64-year-old woman who just has lived her life as an artist and also kind of as a prisoner of her art, you know? She can't just get up and go to the panaderia down the street, even though she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
She can't do that.
Yeah.
But she gets to be Madonna.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, recently when that health scare happened, I didn't talk about her. I didn't post about her. I tried not to because I was just so afraid. Because I thought, you know, we all gotta go. But to see her go,
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah. Like, seeing Michael Jackson go was a shock. Seeing Prince go was, oh my God, just, I did this painting of him the day that he died, the day after, because I just felt, and I'm an artist, so that's how I express myself, and I did this painting of him that was inspired by Purple Rain. My friend Gustavo has it.
Wow.
Because I had to get it out. Mm-hmm. I had to, because these were people that shaped me as an artist. I love pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Pop culture has really defined me as an artist. The cheesier the pop culture, the more I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's inspiring to me.
And your costume designing and your writing, you can see that.
Yeah.
So it's great to know that those people, you know, are channeling through you, which is amazing. You have that legacy still for them, you know.
I absolutely love it. And I'm a pop culture freak.
I love it. Yeah. I think I am too, in kind of a way. The way I relate with Madonna is that I feel that same way, that I want to bring people together. I like to celebrate diversity in different people. I see the great in everybody. I like to help people and give people spaces as well. So she inspires me that way. And being fearless. Like, I'm scared as hell from some shit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, what's going to happen if I, you know, I feel worse not doing it rather than to try and say, no, girl, you're not making the cut. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But if I don't try it, I'm going to be like, I never knew if I could do it.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing about her that really inspired me was when she did Evita.
Oh, yeah.
And at the
time, I
was in a music program, and I remember hearing her sing, and I was like, oh my God, she's hitting notes. She's never. And I came to learn that she was rehearsing with a vocal coach 5 to 8 hours a day. Because to sing pop music is one thing, but to sing something as just strenuous on the voice, like musical theater, is you have to have training for that.
Mm-hmm.
And she put herself through that. And the next album, Ray of Light, hear her voice
clear.
In one of the most beautiful ways that one can imagine. That can only come from receiving vocal training, and it paid off.
And passion, like that's when she had her first child, and she was just like in love, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So, okay, so let's go back to your coming out.
Okay.
So are your parents, are they on board still? Are you close to them? Your family? After coming out, are they accepting?
So, Am I close to my family? Yes.
Okay.
I'm very close to my mother. Mm-hmm. I'm the ninth child of nine kids.
No.
My mother is an amazing woman. Shout out to Raquel Alvarado. Yes. And she was the only person that I cared to come out to. And like I said, after going to Arena and being out to myself and to my friends for a couple of years, I just knew I had to tell her because I didn't want her to hear from anyone else. She knew I had left the church. She knew I had left the ministry. It was an unspoken thing. And one day I did. I called her up and I said, I'm your son and I'm gay. And she just responded with, okay, we'll talk about that later. And then we didn't talk about it for 2 years. But I was gay and I would talk to her. Mm-hmm. She lives in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
When I moved here, I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from high school here and basically have lived in the Los Angeles area since I was a teenager.
Who got you out here?
My aunt and uncle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they lived here and brought me with them because I was a troubled youth. And I wanted to be in California,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people I love LA so much because LA gave me life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it gave me an artistic life. And I get a lot of that from my mother because my mother's an artist.
Oh.
My mother's a writer. My mother was in charge of the drama ministry at her church for decades. She wrote many, many plays that many different
wow.
churches performed at their churches, and she would send them, and she'd be commissioned to write. And she was a costumer. She did it all. She was a mujer of many trades. And although I'm the ninth of nine kids and the one that has spent the least amount of time with her, everybody tells me that I'm the most like her.
Oh,
and I'm very proud of that.
That is so amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt you're her child.
Honey, and Miss Raquel is diva. I'm like, how did you expect not to have a gay son? And
right?
She's always dressed to the nines, even at 87.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to your mom.
Shout out to her. She, you know, my mom has her beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made peace with that. That, okay, you're never going to be okay with me gay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let that affect me. But you're going to know me in my fullness. You're going to know me.
Right.
You're going to... I don't hold back. Because we did have a conversation. And I said, would you rather me lie to you throughout my life? Or
mm-hmm.
do you want to know me? She mm-hmm. said, I always want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're going to know me, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she... Sometimes it's a hard pill for her to swallow, but... Hey, girl, she's a diva. She'll get over it.
Okay, so with that, boyfriend? No boyfriend? Partner?
No.
No partner?
No. No boyfriend.
Anyone
no
you're interested partner. In? Dating? Grindr?
William Levy? what's his name? Rocha from the Rage Against the Machine?
Oh my gosh.
I have very eclectic taste.
Yeah. He is beautiful.
Yes. Fred Durst. I'll also take Fred Durst.
Fred Durst.
Hey, Fred.
Shout out to Fred.
Maluma.
If you're single.
What up, Maluma?
All right. So, what is in the future for you? What's up next?
Well, with Arena, right now we're working with an amazing producer who is looking to option it for television or a feature film.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's all new to me.
Yeah.
And we're kind of navigating that road.
Mm-hmm.
And so just send us a lot of positive energy.
Always.
Please support us.
Mm-hmm.
Support all artists.
Mm-hmm.
Support, I tell people, you know, I have my friend, she told me when, she said, you know me, I'm always saying, support everything black. You need to start saying, support everything brown. So I'm like, support everything brown, mm-hmm. especially artistic endeavors. Whether you agree with them or not, support them by not talking shit about them.
Right.
You know, support them by buying a ticket to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Stop asking for free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Pay to go see your friend's right. show.
Post
pay
a flyer to go see Cinnamon's show. Post a flyer here and there. Tell a friend. Like,
yep.
yeah. I mean, we're hardworking community, and
oh, yeah.
we do it because we love it. You know,
yeah.
we didn't love it. You know,
yeah.
it's doesn't always pay off, but it does when you keep going. So
definitely. Also, I'm one of the producers of Brown and Out.
Mm-hmm.
So is Patricia, and in case people haven't seen. Brown and Out, the writing workshop is starting up again after, 3-year hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Arena was born out of Brown and Out.
Mm-hmm.
So many other works have been born out of Brown and Out. And it's a wonderful writer's workshop. You want to learn how to write a play? You go study with the mother of the house of Josefina, which is... Josefina Lopez.
Right.
You want to learn how to write? You want to give structure to your work? Go and learn this. Take this course. And you will find yourself writing something that isn't just good, but it's well put together. That is worthy of an audience. If you've never written one sentence, or if you've already written, you know, a TV show, go take Brown and Out. So that you are surrounded by brown LGBT people who are putting it down on paper.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to that. I just was one of the producers on Matilda Jr., the musical, playing right now at Casa 0101.
Mm-hmm.
He will absolutely fall in love with these kids who have are musical theater enthusiasts. Directed by Rigo Tejeda, by Gabby Maldonado, by Tanya Posick. These are people who work on my musical, who worked on Beauty and the Beast, who worked on all these major musicals that have played. And now we're teaching it to the next generation.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That's
and it's amazing to see a little brown Matilda walk up there and sing her heart out and talk about... you know, sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty, right? It's amazing to see.
That's so cool.
And it's because I think we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating opportunity.
Yeah.
Opportunity so that diversity can flourish, that it's not just a word.
Yeah.
And that it opens the doors to other people. Yeah.
Real quick, where can they sign up for Brown and Out?
For Brown and Out. You could go to casa0101.org and look under the classes, and Brown and I'll be there. It starts Monday, September 11th.
Okay.
8:30 to 10:30.
At
Casa? At Casa with Josefina Lopez. This
awesome.
Is a master's level class.
Yeah.
People pay thousands to have Josefina look at their work. So they can learn from her. And this is a woman with over 30 years experience, not just in playwriting, but screenwriting, writing for television. And you're getting an intimate class with her on writing a play. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I know I'm taking it.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to take
it. I'll be there.
Yeah. Okay, and before we leave this amazing interview, which I know we didn't really get into the detail of the sets and the naughty nitty gritty, so I'm going to have
you
back. I'm going to have you back. I know. So, you know, we're going to have a part two for sure.
Okay.
But before we go, what do you want people to know about you or about the world or about just anything? Like,
I want people to know that all of us, even people you don't agree with, even people you might not like, all of us have a voice. And doesn't necessarily mean that I have to agree with you or you have to agree with me, but everyone who has a voice should have an opportunity to say it, to write about it. Mm-hmm. And you might not get it right, but you have a voice. Use it. Because silence equals death.
Yes, thank you so much. And thank you so much for coming out. Thank you, Patricia, for being on the sidelines and video and live over there. Thank you, Paige, for the producer over here. You were able to catch the show. If you didn't catch it live tonight, you can catch it tomorrow on City Heart Radio app. Look under Tea Time with Cinnamon. And you will see us.
I want to give a shout out to my friend Matt. Happy birthday, Matt.
Yes, and happy birthday, Madonna.
And happy birthday, Madonna, tomorrow. And my best friend, may you rest in peace, Carlos Lopez. Happy birthday tomorrow to you too, Betsy.
Signing out.